Hello and welcome to episode 30 of the Hollywood Knitter podcast. Today is Tuesday, February 12th, 2013, and I am recording in Hollywood, California. My name is Allison, and I will be your host today. In today's episode, you can expect some applause in the can, now playing a bit of gossip, press junket, and production notes. Let's get started, shall we? First off, I would just like to say hello, everybody. Hello, hello, hello. Thank you for coming back to listen to another episode of the Hollywood Knitter podcast. I greatly, greatly appreciate it. And as such, I would like to start the podcast off with some applause. First up, I would like to thank everybody who's taken time to join the Hollywood Knitter Ravelry group. We're up to 245 members, and that is freaking amazing. Can't believe it. So humbled and awed and honored that people like to listen to my podcast. So thank you. I would like to extend a special hello to those people who took the time to introduce themselves in the new member Rav thread. That would be Stitchers, Ruth from Washington, Coggies MIL, Val in Michigan, who I have a funny feeling I might meet in November, Packy Knits 1, Heidi in Florida, and Indigo Dog MT, Stephanie in Montana. Thank you all very much for taking the time to introduce yourselves. The other thank you I would like to give is to the community as a whole. I just want to take a moment to say I love being part of this community. I can't believe that learning to knit from a book by myself 12 years ago or whatever it was has led me down this path where now I have so many knitting friends and so many friends all over the United States and the world, and that is amazing. And our community is awesome and strong, and I love it. And that's it. In the can. So I have an FO this week, a very big FO, very important FO, one I've been working on since November, and that is my Beatnik. This is an intensely complicated cable sweater pattern pullover by Noragon from Knitty Fall 2010. And this was the project I was doing with Emily, Ooh Fancy Pants, of the What's Just Watching podcast for our Cal. And wow, I so love this sweater. And I was so intensely happy to be done with it. I, as I said, started this sweater November 24th, 2012, and finished it just in the nick of time. I finished it on January 30th, and our Cal was going to the 31st. Just slid in under the wire. And when I finished it, because I was at work, like, seaming it up, I immediately took a bathroom camera pic and put it up on Plurk because I was so ecstatic to be done. Even though when I did that, I knew I was going to have to rip something out and redo it. But let's go take a step back and let's talk about the mods I make to the sweater, because I definitely made a pretty significant amount of modifications to this sweater to make it my sweater. I started off with knitting the body in the round until the sleeves. And this was actually something I followed from another Ravelry member who had done this, who had actually written the instructions up. Before I even started doing that, though, for the ribbing, I decided I didn't want to do twisted rib. I was coming off a project with a lot of twisted rib, and I just didn't want to do twisted rib. So I made it regular ribbing on the bottom of the sweater, and I just went down two needle sizes. Also, I should actually take even another step back. I did this in DK weight yarn instead of the worsted weight. So I did this in Silver Moon DK Superwash and Tomato, which is this awesome orangey color that I love. So I had to, before I even started, do some math because my gauge was obviously off. And so I ended up following a larger size, hoping to get my size. And then I went down even more needle size for the ribbing, and then I knit the body in the round I also increased the length by 2 inches. I increased, instead of doing cable darts, as some people did cable darts, instead of doing bust darts to account for needing more room over the girls, I instead just added some stitches into the cables over that area so that my idea was that I didn't want my cable, which is kind of a linear kind of look, I didn't want that to pull in over that area so that it kind of looked out of alignment. So I did some rough math and I increased some stitches, basically adding some purl stitches between cables, and that actually worked really well. And I only did that on the front and not the back. I also made changes to the neck so it wouldn't be a boat neck. So basically, I redid some of the math so I would have less stitches when I got up to the neckline than what they called for in the pattern, because I didn't want a boat neck. I need a sweater that's going to cover my bra strap. That's just the way it is. I'm not a fan of boat necks for me. Then I also had to increase for the sleeves because, as I said, my upper arm, a little fleshy. So I actually went up even more sizes than the one I was following for the sleeves so that I would make sure to have a good fit. I think that's it for initially. So as I said, I finished this sweater. I did the picture in the bathroom. And even before I finished it, I looked at it and I followed the instructions for the neck besides it being a smaller neckline. So it was not a boat neck. But I did follow the directions in the pattern for like a stand-up collar, which calls for you to knit like 4 inches and then flip it over so that you have a double layer of fabric and it kind of stands up. That's my initial picture, was that in the bathroom. But I didn't like the way it looked on me. I'm pretty sure I wasn't going to, but I thought I'd give it a chance. So almost immediately after I finished it, I knew I was going to have to rip that back. And I knew I wasn't really going to have time to get that done before the 31st. So I kind of left it for 2 days. But I did end up ripping it back and picking up less stitches than I had before. So I followed a 3-4 ratio. So for every 4 stitches, I picked up 3. And then I did 1.5 inches of twisted rib and then cast off with a stretchy cast off. And that worked way better. So my collar doesn't really stick up. It's more just like a normal ribbed collar. And I like it much better. Then I washed it before I really even wore it. And that wasn't a bad idea, but this yarn soaks in so much water. Like, this sweater was crazy heavy, and that was with me. I used a spin cycle to spin some water out. I used towels, and it still had a lot of water. It's winter here, so it's hard to find a space to wash or to let a sweater dry like that, especially with that much water. So I put it in the dryer, and I put it on low heat and let that go for a while, which would not have been a bad thing if I had turned the sweater inside out, but I didn't because I forgot. After a few rounds when it came out, it was fuzzed. It wasn't pilled. It was just fuzz. Like, all the short fibers had kind of escaped from the yarn, and I had a lot of fuzz on it. And so I had some serious fuzz removal. And so I grabbed my clothes shaver, my sweater shaver, which is not a bad thing. I've used it on like socks and things before. You do have to kind of watch it. And I was watching it, but not so closely enough that it's way easier to use this on flat fabric, but these are cables. And so I nicked a cable. And so I actually, before I even wore it, put a hole in the sweater. Not a big hole, and it wasn't a big deal. I was really surprised when I did it. I was like, oh well. And I just took some yarn and I duplicate stitched it. And because of where it was in the cable, it was a twisting over of the cable. Can't even tell. Totally hit it fine. And I think it will hold just fine. But yeah, if you use a shaver, they say be very careful. I probably should have used something else, but I just wanted to get the fuzz off this thing. And one reason it took so long is, so I measured it after I washed it. And I was aiming for a sweater with zero ease, maybe a wee bit positive ease. I ended up with a sweater with about 2 inches of negative ease, which was fine because I actually wear most of my clothing with a negative ease. I was looking for a more slouchy fit on this, but it would have required going up way more than I wanted to. So it's slightly negative. I think it looks great. It ended up being 28 inches long, so a tunic length, maybe a little longer than I would have liked. The yarn actually grew, and I guess I really didn't account for that when I washed my Swatch, that it would grow with the weight of all of this yarn and these cables. But that's okay. It's a good tunic length. It is the kind of long sweater I can wear with a cool pair of jeans. And when I sit down at a bar, I won't have to worry about my underwear showing. And that's awesome. The other thing with washing it is so soft. So soft. I had to wear it once. And so I wore it to once a month, my group, because we're all scattered everywhere in construction jobs. Once a month, we get together for our monthly meeting. And I am the only girl with a group of about 30 guys in my group. But everybody knows I knit. They've either seen me knit at the meeting, if I've been in the office, or if they've worked in a job with me, they've seen me knit. Most guys know I knit. So when I wore this sweater, all the guys were like, did you make that? Did you do that? That looks awesome. Like, I got so many compliments, which from guys, it's just even cooler. True, they know I knit, and, you know, they kind of ask things, but they just kind of were like, what I needed to hear. Like, I knew the sweater was awesome. It's pretty awesome. Pretty happy with it. But it's even better when muggles compliment you. And I think maybe a few of these guys might be knitworthy. Just saying, maybe. I'm really pleased with how this sweater turned out. I don't know if I'm going to jump on a cabled sweater again, though. It really was a beast to slog through. And I didn't change the cables like a lot of other people did. I did cables front and back on these, and I followed the charts per the pattern. And I really love how it looked, and I really love how it turned out. I'm very pleased with what will be my Stitches West sweater. That will be the next place I wear it. Some thoughts on the KAL. First of all, kudos to everyone who even started with us. I know there were more people who started with us than finished. I am totally with you. I don't think I would have finished this on time if it wasn't my own KAL I was hosting. I would have put this down and it would have taken a lot longer. I just had to power through, like power through. Kudos to everybody who started. Bigger kudos to those who finished, especially those who did it so fast. And you people know who you are. That was crazy fast. Crazy, crazy. Emily and I tried to do a little video thing where we announced the winners, but our technology was failing us. So she ended up announcing the winners on her podcast. So go ahead to her podcast if you haven't checked it out and see if you won a prize. Though here's a hint. Everyone who finished one and tagged it with Turkey Beatnik Cal got a prize. Just because we were so excited people did it with us. Because it is a tough sweater. Most people, I think, have claimed prizes. So if you have finished a sweater and you haven't watched Emily, do that and get your prize. Thoughts on knit-alongs in general? Because this was my crazy for the Stockinette Zombies. I'm still not a KAL girl. I don't like the stress of having to finish or having to do things, even if it's self-imposed. Especially if it's my own where I feel like I have to finish. I do like the camaraderie, though, of knitting with other people and being able to ask questions back and forth. So I might try to fit my knitting with, like, existing KALs that are going, but not the other way around, if that makes sense. I'm not saying I'll never do another KAL again, but they're not something I'm going to do very often because I like to knit what I want to knit when I want to knit it on my own time schedule and not feel like I have to knit something. Because that's not fun for me. Though if I hadn't had that kind of push this time, I don't know if it would have gotten done. It might have been another 2 months before it gotten done. Now playing. But I do have a few things on the needles. Four. Two of which I started in the last few days. Yeah, a little crazy with the startitis. For me anyways. One isn't really startitis. It is finishing up the Worth Avenue cardigan by Sarah Wilson that I started way back in August 2012. And I had run out of yarn when I got to the sleeves. And I had like a vest and I was like, can I live with this? Can I not? And I couldn't. And I bought some yarn, more yarn for it right before the holidays. And it came. And so I'm finally starting to knit those sleeves. And I have to say, the new skein matches perfectly. So this is at work because it's pretty easy stockinette, and I haven't decided if I'm going to do there's a lace pattern that goes all along the edge and the body, and I'm not sure if I'm going to do that on the sleeves or not. I'm still deciding. But it's kind of just sitting at work, and I'm working on it as I get a chance. The other project that I have still going on are my socks. My current socks right now are the Owly socks by Julie Elswitch Suchamal, and this is a free pattern. Though I'm modifying it like I do all my socks, and it's toe up, and I'm not doing the owl motif on the foot, and I changed the way the twist goes because it was a alternating left-right twist and traveling twist kind of thing, and it just wasn't working for me. So actually what I did is on the first sock, after I'd done a few of them, I didn't like the way it looks. So I changed to another one, and I changed to a right twist, basically the kind of twist I just done on the beatnik, because it's really easy to do. And it's basically you have two stitches, and to twist to the right, you knit both as it to knit two together, and then instead of passing those stitches off, you then knit again into the front stitch, and that twists it. And it's so easy to do. It's easier than like doing cabling without a cable needle. Love it. So that's what I switched to doing. And originally I was twisting, right twisting like every other row, and then that was too close together. So then I switched it to doing a right twist every three rows. And then I looked at it, and I was almost to the heel by this point. And I said, you know what? These are for me. I don't care that these twists change all on the sock. I'm just going to keep it as is. And I'll make the next sock be all the same. I didn't rip out after not liking those twists and made it to the heel. And I decided to put one owl on the heel with beads for the eyes. Hopefully that will not be a mistake. If it is something I can feel in my shoes if I wear them, then these will just be socks I wear around the house. Then I just went with one round of sock of owl motifs on the ankle before just doing some twisted rib and casting off. So these are shorter ankle socks because one, I was concerned with how much yarn I was going to have, and two, I just felt like it. I did put seed beads for all the eyes, and I was following the pattern for the largest size, which is a little too big for my foot. And that was semi-intentional because when I read up for this yarn that I'm using, which is the Aracunia Ranko Solid in a purple gray, it said it felt a little. So I decided, and I've had this happen in a few of my socks where they were perfect and then I washed them like I'm going to wash them and they felt it just a little and they were just a little too small. So I figured with these, if I made them a little too big, when they felt it a little bit, they would be just right. And I realized this could bite me in the butt, but we'll see. Finished the first sock. I'm on the gusset of the second sock, about to start the heel, and I should finish these off by the end of the week and then be ready to start my next sock, which will put me right on schedule for doing 13 sock projects in 2013. These are the Owly socks. They look awesome. If you're into crazy owls like I am, check it out. Then I started two new patterns. One was my next sweater, which I had talked about before, which is the Goodall by Cecily Glowick McDonald. And I actually started that like Sunday, so like 2 days ago. I'm using the Sweet Georgia Yarns Cash Lux Fine in English Ivy, which is a merino cashmere nylon blend and fingering. So because it's fingering, it's a slightly different gauge than the sport. So again, I'm doing number modifications because I apparently can't pick the right weight yarn that goes with the project to make my life easier. I swatched and I originally did swatch on a 6 and of course I didn't get gauge. And so I went up a size just to see if I could get gauge on it because some people had when I looked at patterns. And I did get gauge with a 7, but I didn't like the fabric. It was too floppy. It was too loose. It didn't have enough structure. But I really liked it on the 6. So I am following, again, a larger size, hoping to get around my size of 40. So I think I'm following, like, the 52 to hopefully get, like, right around a 40, 41. We'll see. It worked well on the beatnik. I'll be able to try this one on as I go, so I think I should be okay. No other modifications yet, but stay tuned. I'm sure there will be. I plan on really bringing this, knitting this a lot up probably at Stitches West because it's going to be a lot of stockinette. And stockinette is great knitting when you're chatting with people. Then the last pattern I started because it was in my queue. I'm actually trying to knit the things that are in my queue right now, kind of just going down one by one. I felt the urge to cast on for The Confused Moose by Anna Horacevic from the Mini Mochi book. Now, this book was a prize from the Cognitive Fiber Retreat in the fall. I think actually Angel Luna 20 got it and she letting me borrow it, or vice versa. We both got books and I'm borrowing both and one of them goes back or vice versa. Anyways, when I was going through the book, I saw this moose and I decided I wanted to make it. It's this cute little moose with like little tiny feet and these big antlers. And in the book, it has like little birds. But I'm going to use it for my podcast buttons that I get from everybody to display them. Sort of a la Dawn Knit and Wolf, where she has her softie up there with her buttons. I'm sort of following that with the moose. So I wanted to use stash yarn, which I had plenty of, and I wanted to make it bigger. So the pattern calls for worsted weight. So I decided to use worsted weight, but to hold it double and still follow the numbers roughly. So hoping to get, I think the pattern said it would make like an 8-inch one. And I'm hoping to get like a 12 to 14-inch moose with antlers. So I'm using Lion Brand Fisherman Wool in the brown for the body. And I'm holding together two strands of my leftovers for the antlers and like the feet. And that is Happy Go Lucky and Navajo Wool, which are both reddish. So I'm actually going to have red antlers because that's what I felt like. All the yarn, as I said, is being held double. And right now I'm knitting them on US9s. I'm about halfway done with the body and it's coming out pretty well. No complaints. Following the pattern. We'll see when I get to the antlers. I think that's where it become more complicated, but the body itself is easy. So I'm hoping to finish this off soon. I'm hoping to finish this soon so I will have it ready to display my buttons. And that will make me happy because right now they're kind of all just in a cup hanging out. And that is all I'm knitting right now. Gossip. Let's talk about my trip to San Francisco with my sister. It was a good time. It was a really good time. We got in Wednesday night and our planes got in around the same time. And I met her at the airport with her big bags because she had come from working a convention in Vegas and my sister overpacked. So she had a ginormous suitcase and a laptop and a tote bag. And I was like, you realize we have to take the train to get to the city and all this. But it worked okay. So we got there. We checked in at the hotel, which I really enjoy this hotel. It's called Hotel Aubrey, which is about a block up from the Powell station. And the room was very well appointed. I really liked the lobby. I've stayed at quite a few Union Square hotels, and I tend to stay at the cheaper ones. You know, I try not to pay more than $130-$140 a night, which for San Francisco is right on par for that area. And I really just liked how this room, the bathroom was a little bigger. The room was a little bigger than some of the other hotels I'd been in. I was just really pleased with it. So if you're looking for a Union Square hotel, check out Hotel Aubrey, A-B-R-I. Very convenient to the BART, to the cable car, the Powell cable car, and to all the shopping that's right there. Just easy. Checked in. Then we socked in early. We kind of chatted for a while, and then we went to sleep. One good thing about this trip with being on my sister is that I get up early, but usually when I go on vacation, like say with my boyfriend, he doesn't like to get up early when on vacation. But my sister was on East Coast time, and she has kids, so we both were up before 7 and gotten ready, and we're going out the door, and I picked where we were going for breakfast. Of our meals, our breakfasts on Thursday and Friday were the best meals we had. The only ones I really want to, like, mention. It was like 7:15, 7:30. We went down to take the cable car over to the North Beach area, and it was so empty. The only other people on it were, like, commuters. And so they were scanning everyone's badges, and when it got to us, I'm like, oh, no, I got money. And they're like, oh, no, don't worry about it. So they even let us write for free, which was totally awesome. And then we listened to them just talk about football because it was Super Bowl weekend. So it was a big deal in San Francisco. We got to sit in the front. She stood up for a little while. Was a little chilly, but totally, you know, the stereotypical San Francisco tourist thing you do. So it was a lot of fun. And then we got off and went to Mama's in North Beach for breakfast, which is highly rated and recommended in places and so worth it. It was so yummy. So good. And I guess there's usually a wait, and there was a wait. We got there like 5 minutes after they opened, and like within 20 minutes they had a fairly sizable crowd outside. So I'm really happy we got there right when they opened and didn't have to wait. Then we went down to, walked over to Fisherman's Wharf and walked around. She saw some of the sea lions, and then we got on like the first or second boat to Alcatraz, and we walked around Alcatraz. I had done the tour before, she hadn't, so we did all of that, and then we did something that I hadn't done before, which is walk around the entire island. And I don't know if it's the time of year or whatever, but that island is so lush. Like, there are so many plants and flowers, and it was so green. It was amazing. It was gorgeous. It was a gorgeous day. First of all, weather in San Francisco in my many trips has never been this beautiful. We woke up, and at 7 o'clock in the morning, there was sunshine. I don't think that's ever happened on a trip where I've been there. And that was the case for both the Thursday and Friday that we were out doing touristy things. When we left on Saturday, it was overcast again in the morning. Kind of typical. But for the day we were on Alcatraz, it was super clear, not a cloud in the sky. It was gorgeous. It was amazing just walking around Alcatraz and seeing all the green and the lush and knowing that it had been planted over many generations, and now I guess there's a group that volunteers to keep it up. And yeah, it was good. It was fun. And I took a lot of pictures on Alcatraz, a lot. So much so that when we went to our next trip, which we got off Alcatraz, we stopped for a quick lunch at the Bodine Bakery so that we could get, you know, clam chowder and a bread bowl, which was yummy. Then we went on my next planned adventure, which was to rent a bicycle and bike across the Golden Gate Bridge, which was so much fun. We rented bikes from Blazing Saddles, and I had no problem with them, so I'll give them a thing. Give them a plug, and they were near Fisherman's Wharf, though I think they have multiple locations, and they got us on a bike. There was a little map, and we were out the door fairly quick. Again, it was a beautiful day to be biking. It was kind of funny because my sister, who is a little younger than me, says, I haven't been on a bike, she's like, since I was like 13. And I was like, you don't forget how to ride a bike. And you don't. And so she was fine. We took the route along the water, and it goes to the bridge and then over the bridge. And there are a few hills on it. There just are. And I don't bike enough to go up them, and my sister certainly doesn't, and she has asthma on top of that. So we did a lot of walking on those hills. I didn't even try. Like, some people were trying to get like halfway up there and then they would get off, and I was like, you know what? Nope, I'm walking it up. I'm okay with that. And so we biked along the water. It was gorgeous. We went under the bridge and took some pictures, which was really cool from an engineering standpoint, like looking up the Golden Gate Bridge, which isn't golden, by the way. And took the little hill, got up, and then went across the bridge, stopping multiple times. And it was a lot of fun. And then when we got over the bridge, we took a rest for a little while. And then we biked down into Sausalito and took the ferry back. And it was a lot of fun. I actually wish that I'd had more time. Like, I think if I go again, I might do a whole day where I just bike around. Because once you get across the bridge, you can take all of these bike paths in that area of Marin County. And then you just take the ferry back. And then when you take the ferry and it drops you off at, I think, I don't know, number 4. And then you just bike back to where you got your bike. And I think our whole thing, it's like a 8 miles one way to the ferry, and then you take the ferry back. And I think that whole thing took us 2.5 hours, and we were slower than some other people, so a bit leisurely. But if you ever go to San Francisco and you're looking for something a little different, I highly recommend the experience. It was so much fun, and it was great to get a little exercise and to be out and about and see all of the San Francisco people running along the water, or there was one little girl that was actually like wading in the water and playing, and it was just a lot of fun. We were totally beat by the end of that, and we ended up going to a restaurant, which I'm not going to name, because we waited forever. Then the food was not that awesome, and the service was not that awesome, and we actually had a bit of a disagreement about that, because my sister is a huge, huge person on service. Like, it has to be awesome, or, you know, she was a server back in her day, so she expects more. I'm a little more forgiving. And so our only kind of disagreement was about that meal. But it was okay, because we just kind of went in our little huffy ways back to our hotel and went to sleep. And when we woke up, we were fine again. And for us to only have that little one, that's pretty good. Go back 5, 6, 7 years, way more than that. Then the next day, we just kind of shopped. My sister had some goals. She wanted to get a pair of Uggs and some other things. So we went along to different shops and Macy's and the Ugg store. And then we went into Chinatown, where she picked up souvenirs and, you know, did that. And then we had to go to a Ross so she could get another suitcase, because she had too much stuff. And that's kind of what we did. We just bopped around. We had some drinks. We ate a little food and just kind of hung out. There are so many places we could have gone to San Francisco, but didn't want to overwhelm the trip. You know, she had just come off of working a lot when she was things. And so it was just kind of a relaxing shopping day, taking in the sights of the city and walking around. And it was awesome. I will say that in our perusal of stores, there was one store that was right next to us that had the ugliest sweaters I've ever seen. I took some pictures, and you should totally check out the show notes for them. It was like a Frankenstein sweater. It was like they took a Fair Isle sweater and an Intarsia sweater and a plain sweater, cut them up into pieces and sewed them together. All different colors, all different patterns, all different. And it just did not look pretty. I didn't go into the store to actually try them on. We actually saw it after it had closed. But I did take a picture at the window, and it's hideous. And if this is where knitwear is going this season, oh man, hideous. Anyways, my sister really loves San Francisco. I think she would consider going back, because she also saw how many cool stuff there is to do with kids. And yeah, it was just a fun trip. Can't wait for my next trips. I think I forgot to mention last podcast that this coming weekend, which is a 3-day weekend in the United States, President's Day weekend, I am going out of town with my boyfriend. It's kind of a Valentine's Day / his birthday thing, because his birthday is February 25th, and I won't be here the weekend before that because I'll be at Stitches. So we decided to rent a cabin and go up to Big Sur, California, which is on the coast of California, just south of San Francisco, where there are redwoods and forests, and it's very green, very lush, and very beautiful. I've driven along, if you ever drive the one Pacific Coast Highway from like Los Angeles up, you go along this. It goes through Big Sur, and it's amazing. So I'm really excited. We're going to leave on Friday night and go up to Cambria, which is about 4 hours from LA and about an hour and a half or 2 hours south of Big Sur, because you don't want to drive that drive at night. You want to see it during the day. And so we're going to leave after work, drive up there, and then from there drive up on Saturday, where we got a cabin for 2 nights. Little cabin, I think. We'll see how it is. We're going to do some hiking, some hanging out, and recharge together. And then I come back, we drive back on Monday, and then I'm at work for 2 days, just Tuesday and Wednesday. And then Thursday morning, I fly to Stitches West. But before I espouse how awesome Stitches West will be, I also am excited about my trip to DC and seeing knitting friends, and maybe my sister might come to it. And we have our hotel booked, and we're trying to go get on a White House tour, and I'm going to do more planning on that soon. I just haven't had time. Press junket. But let's talk about all things knitting, or at least knitting events. So the next place I will be at is Stitches West. It's Santa Clara from February 21st through 24th. I am flying up there Thursday morning with my cohort and friend and roommate, Priscilla, Angel Luna 20, and we're taking classes. Well, I'm taking a class. I'm not sure which classes she signed up for yet. I am taking one class, Intro to Rigid Heddle Looms on Thursday. And this is, I said, to see if I'm into it. And then the other official sanctioned event I will be attending that I got a ticket for is a student banquet on Saturday night, because I hear that that's a lot of fun from certain people. So I got a ticket for that to go. The meetup, if you would like to come, it's informal meetup with a formal time and amazing people to come and hang out with. Informal meaning we're going to be setting up at the Hyatt Bar, which is just across from the convention center. And we, meaning me, the Yarniacs, the Two Knitlet Chicks, and Aaron from the Double Knit Podcast, as well as who knows what other people may come that you may have heard their dulcet voices before or seen them. You never know. And we're going to hang out and knit, and we would like everybody to come join us and to come say hi. We're all pretty friendly folk and would love to meet and talk to everyone and see what people are knitting and chat. And yeah, that's what these events are all about. So I hope that everybody who is coming, who has any desire to come and meet me in person or any of the other ladies, comes. We will be there from 2 to 4. I think you probably will be able to spot us pretty easily. I will have podcast buttons for anyone that would like them. But if you can't meet the meetup and you happen to see me on the floor or recognize my voice or in any way, whatever, come say hi. I would love to meet everybody and anyone. And yeah, come say hi. We will be there until Sunday. I think our flight's at like 1 and then we come back. Then the next thing I know I'm attending is Zombie Knitpocalypse in Minnesota in June 20th through 23rd. That is open to everybody. And so I highly recommend anyone who wants to attend should. It's being hosted by the Stockinette Zombies, who are awesome, and it will be a lot of fun. Then the other official event I'm attending is Knitting in the Mitten, hosted by the awesome Coggy TM of the High Fiber Diet, and that is November 7th through the 10th. That's all my knitting travels. Oh, and the Cognitive Fire Retreat in October. How could I forget? I need to add that onto my show notes so I don't forget to say it anymore. I also plan on being there again. Hopefully, I will meet lots of you at some of these knitting events I'm attending in the future. Production notes. Okie dokie. I still have a contest going on for January, February. The thread is open in my Rav group, and all you have to do is tell me what your favorite winter pastime is. The prize is a skein of Bittersweet Woolery Guilty Pleasure Superwash Sock Yarn in the color Shagalicious, as well as a sock size Erin Lane project bag. The contest closes on February 28th, and I will be announcing the winner in the next podcast after that. We're up to 51 entries, which is, I think, my biggest contest entry ever, and I love everyone's entries. I love what everyone likes to do in winter. And I want to thank everyone for entering and sharing. If you'd like to know about anything I discussed today, the show notes, as well as the podcast, are available on my website, www.hollywoodknitter.com. If you are looking to find me, I am on Ravelry and Twitter as Allison1031, and you're totally welcome to friend me. Love friending people. And I am Hollywood Knitter on Plurk. Also love friends. If you'd like to drop me an email, you can drop me an email at allison1031@gmail.com or a private message on Ravelry or Plurk or however. I would love for you all to come and check out and join the Hollywood Knitter podcast group. It's awesome. So until next time, that's a wrap from Hollywood, where fantasy meets fiber and dreams are knit.